Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
Well, happy holiday season here on Circles of Change. Away we go. Bruce Frankel from New York City, Greater Boston area. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Zara. How are you?
Happy holidays. Great. Thank you very much. Trying to pack up, move things on so we can head off on a holiday break here. But in the meantime, ever present here this morning to welcome some really important topics. For our listeners who aren't familiar with us, Bruce, of course, is quite a writer, a researcher, and spent time writing the book, What Should I Do with the Rest of My Life, which has put him on the trajectory now of studying and helping all sorts of people and thoughts on this age 50-ish, we might say, and beyond. Thoughts. You wanted to touch into actually kind of a sobering subject today, but help us flip it into a positive way, Bruce. So have at it.
I'll do that. First of all, it sounds like a great lineup today. I look forward to hearing the other guests.
Thank you.
Of course, like everybody else who's been listening to the news over the last couple of weeks, it's been particularly sad and dispiriting to hear the news out of Newtown and to watch what's going on in Washington. Mm-hmm. Regardless of your political agenda, you know, we see the fiscal cliff and the jeopardy that the nation is being put in by the failure of government and politicians to deal with it in an effective and useful way. And, you know, we don't have to be political, in essence, to know in our guts that we need to change things in fundamental ways.
Yeah, you bet.
And one of those, it seems to me, is that we have to become conscious of our mutual dependence on each other, and as a nation we have to reframe things a bit. And as my focus, as you know, has been on the plus 50 generation and how individuals can reframe their lives and reinvent themselves and create great encore lives, things that they never expected they could do or would be able to do, and accomplish valuable things for themselves, for their lives, and for the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems to me that this is a crucial moment, and it plays very much a part of the political drama that's playing out right now. Because after we get done solving the fiscal cliff, and of course it will get solved in some way, we're going to face an enormous shift in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter exactly how it's solved. We know that a few things are going to be true. One of them is that there are going to be severe cuts. That's the only way in social services and across the board. That's the only way that this is ultimately going to get worked out. So that's one element. The other thing that's going to happen, and it's happening rapidly and like a train that's coming down the tracks, no one seems to be awake to it sometimes, but demography is fate, and
yeah,
the demographics of the United States are shifting quickly. And people have been projecting at the Sloan Center for Aging and at Dukakis Center for Urban Policy. They've been doing projections for the last couple of years saying that basically by 2018, we're going to have a worker shortage in this nation. About 5 million jobs are going to be left empty unless things change. And
of course, you know, if you recall, that similar type of rhetoric was on the line about 4 or 5 years ago, before the economic downturn. And so, you know, indeed, people chose not to retire or shift us anything dramatic. But the point of your message here and that these other studies are showing is it is going to happen because now truly the aging and capability factor is going to step in, not just the likely, at least those of us in this camp, a positive way, feeling of resurgence of economic well-being so people can step out of the workforce, those who are prepared to go for the big R. Not retirement, but renaissance, right?
Renaissance, refirement,
yeah.
Whatever you want to call it.
Refirement, I like that.
You know, it's necessary. People, generally in their 50s, 60s, and 70s no longer want to retire. It's not something that, you know, 40% of people in that age bracket want to continue working in encore careers. They recognize both the economic need for it, but also the personal need. And now there is going to be much more at stake, and that's the well-being of the nation and our children and our children's children. Because unless we help to fuel the economy and fill these jobs, there are serious economic consequences that are going to come down track. But even more important, there's going to be a great need for people who have talent and training and wisdom and skill to work in schools, in healthcare environments. As people age, there's going to be a much greater need for people to do the kind of social service support and health and home health care supports than there are now. But we don't have the people to fill those. We're not going to have the people to fill those jobs. So there's very meaningful work that's ahead, and we're talking only about 5 years away where, you know, there's going to be this great need. And part of the problem now, so we've seen in the last couple of years, organizations that have been dealing with have seen that people have gotten the idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
They want to work. They know that they have to work. The missing element so far has been, so we have the supply of workers ready to go, but the missing element has been organizations, government, institutions, businesses recalibrating themselves to adjust for older workers to come in and seeing how they might reshape jobs to attract and retrain and keep older workers. And connecting tissue that will
right.
get
and the
these
glue.
Workers.
And because what we're talking about here is that people who really want to shift to new venues and bring their own life experiences and career experiences forward in really new, powerful ways.
Absolutely. And you know, this can be a great win-win for everyone. And that's the thing, is that while things have been pretty dark the last few years for many people, we really do stand on the cusp of a moment in which things could turn around dramatically and quickly. But it does require that people, both individuals and groups, begin to recognize what's happening and see the change that's about to occur because of demography. It's going to generate the need for added services, particularly in healthcare, and the size of this older segment alone will drive demand. And there just are going to be too few younger workers to fill the existing positions.
Well, and the reality might be as well, though, that the younger workers may not be as well equipped to fill some of those spots, particularly if you look at the social service, well-being, coaching, and supporting of others, that with the right additional training, we can bring more seasoned wisdom to help. You kind of know more the do's and the don'ts because of your own life experiences. But on the flip side, you know, the other piece of it for organizations, and I recall this well from my corporate days, is always watching for that significant movement of our more seasoned people that know both the explicit knowledge as well as the tacit knowledge that makes the business move. And so if companies aren't addressing their own internal knowledge transfer, there's going to be a lot that's going to walk out the door if they're not mindful of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a terrific point, Zara. And, you know, again, I'm sure organizations can benefit from from recognizing that you can pair, for instance, older workers with younger workers for mentoring and training and for, you know, the creative spark that can emerge from that.
Well, and also, you know, part of the social challenge we always have, though, is that in some, most organizations, that unless you have lots of people reporting to you, perhaps you aren't as important enough or aren't recognized. But the more we give more senior people the opportunity, perhaps, to step off some of the more strenuous tracks of program management or you name it, whatever it is in your industry, and truly become internal teachers, wise sages, or we even used to call them, one of my organizations, the lifeguards, right, where you had the more senior people, you even oriented where their desk or their office was so that those more junior or new to the firm could just by hanging around them in proximity learn a lot to go forward. But I think your whole point here, Bruce, is, hey, the clock is ticking, and it's very real. We're talking 4 to 5 years, and you can accomplish a lot if you're very mindful of these bold steps. In some organizations, they would be viewed as bold, that you need to take.
That's the thing that, I mean, I just can't stop thinking about lately, is how quickly this is all going to begin to happen. We know that people are crossing the midlife line now at about the rate of about 10,000 people a day. The boomer generation is aging into what would have been retirement age very quickly now. And if you use that image of a freight train that's moving very quickly, and we just have to begin to figure out, lay the tracks for the future now, because we can't wait until the train is at our doorstep. And I think there's a lot in place. We've seen in some of the organizations that I'm part of that people are enthusiastic. Every time we hold any kind of training session or leadership session or session to discuss what's possible, they're fully subscribed.
Yeah,
people
exactly,
want to
yeah.
continue to work. They mm-hmm. want to continue to give of themselves. They, particularly, you know, as people age, they want to do things that are meaningful for society. When I saw Barry Bluestone, who's an economist at Northeastern University, speak a couple of weeks ago, what impressed me most wasn't just that he laid out some of these facts that I'm repeating here. It's that he himself, who's had a long and distinguished career as a educator, sees the point of using himself in a new way. And so he's begun teaching middle school and teaching economics to middle schoolers and taking what he knows, but reshaping it mm-hmm. so that he can give it to a new generation in a new way. Not teaching the same way, changing his life and his work, but using it.
Right. And, of course, you've heard me comment on the show many times. Our listeners have. My father is 87, and he stepped out of corporate America, reinvented himself at 53. He's still working. And so I sit here at 56 and say, oh, you mean I'm only halfway done with this thing then? Which is true. And, I mean, I have no, I am genetically not wired to know that R really means a more passive retirement phase, but rather this reinvention or refiring. I like how you put that earlier in your comments.
Well, yeah, actually, that term came to me from a noted neuroscientist who years ago told me that, you know, she utterly believes that this is the critical thing because of what it does for us neurologically. Just as children need stimulation to fire their neural networks, and if it's not done early, they risk not having it done at all, it's true for us as we age that we need to continue to fire our neural networks. And one of the ways is through novelty and challenge and engagement. And those are all critical things, and those are also part of this, that by creating a path for people to work, we're not only keeping workers and an economic system going, we're helping people to stay healthy, and that reduces the frightening costs of healthcare. You know, if we stay on the current path in terms of healthcare costs that we're on right now, by 2030, I believe it is, fully 30% of the GDP
will be related to that.
Will be in healthcare costs. There'll be nothing left for anything else if that's the case. And so we really, it's incumbent upon all of us to continue to remain healthy. And one of the ways in which we keep ourselves healthy and brain intact is through meaningful work.
Meaningful work, yeah. Well, Bruce, I know, you know, this idea of collision that we call the fiscal cliff, but for those who are listening today to understand, tremendous opportunity. For those of you who are in those go-to fields, you're already well positioned to go to the next step. For those of you who'd like to shift, that you can take your years of experience and your wisdom to deploy it or actually give back to your current industry or organization that's probably going to go through a major shift. But the other thing is there are some wonderful organizations that have been way out ahead of the curve, several of which you've been affiliated with, Bruce, the Life Planning Network, Encore.org, that have been positioning us to think in a positive way about this seismic move, right, to open up whole new personas and opportunities for us.
Absolutely. And there's Encore.org, in collaboration with Marcy Albaher, who was the writer of a new book called The Encore Career Handbook, just published, it comes out at the beginning of the new year. I guess it's available now on pre-order. It's a terrific book that's filled with information about how people can find Encore jobs. As you know, the Life Planning Network has a new book coming out called Live Smart After 50, and that also is filled with great and meaningful exercises and ideas and resources of how people can find meaningful work and meaningful ways to be in the world. You know, you read the article that I did by Mark Friedman, who is the founder of Encore.org, in the Harvard Business Review recently, in which Mark recalled how years ago he spent time with a couple of older women, Ag
right.
Bennett and Louise Casey, up in Maine, who had joined a program called Foster Grandparents and gone to work in a hospital where they became the surrogate parents for the sickest of kids. Now, they only worked 20 hours a week, but they wouldn't have traded it for anything in the world, because for them it wasn't just a job. It became much, much more than that. It became a joy. But you think about the ways in which that benefited everyone.
Yeah, so, exactly. In fact, I think Mark's capstone word, which I think would be a great way for us to wrap, is the fact this isn't about leaving a legacy, although that's important and we all will do that. But his comment was how can we all live a legacy, you know, and doing it at the same time. Bruce
Absolutely.
Frankel, thank you so much for your contributions again this year to Circles of Change. We're going to catch you then in 2013. Those of you interested, please do visit Bruce Frankel, FRANKEL.net, to get involved and track in his wonderful series of blogs, his writings. And we're going to have a special show in January completely dedicated to that new book, Living Smart After 50, which Bruce is one of the major contributors to. Happiest of holidays. Thanks for joining us today, Bruce.
Thank you, Zara. Happy holidays to you, too, as well.
We'll talk to you soon. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.